Hello and welcome to the Big Red Bench. Melanie Brown here with you till 7, and we have plenty of sporting action to get you, so let's get right into it. Starting with Gaelic games, and it's not long to go as Cork hope to make it 2-2 in their Allianz Hurling League Division 1A title defence. After last week's big win over Waterford, they'll take on Galway this evening with throw-in shortly at 7pm in Pearse Stadium. Football, and Arsenal have re-established their 7-point lead at top of the Premier League after crushing Leeds 4-0 at Elland Road. Bottom side Wolves suffered a 2-0 defeat Bournemouth, while Everton got a stoppage time equaliser for a 1-1 draw at Brighton. Chelsea can climb further into the top four if they avoid defeat at home to West Ham, with around 20 minutes gone there as Chelsea 0, West Ham 1. And Liverpool host Newcastle this evening with kick-off at 8pm. Closer to home in the Munster Senior Cup, Kerry are through to semi-final with a 4-0 win over Leeds. Rugby now, and in the URC, Connacht have gone to Parma and come away with a victory despite being scoreless in the first half. Leinster are playing host Edinburgh. We're 7-0 to the host so far, with Max Deegan's try separating the sides. And at 7:45, Ulster welcome Cardiff to Affidia Stadium in Belfast. Now in the Energy AIL Division 1A, Cork Conn get the victory over Young Munster with a 19-18 point win. And in 1B, Highfield just fell short to Old Wesley, 19-70. And UCC had a 6-point win over Blackrock College.
Energia AIL updates on the Big Red Bench. With Energia, think of the possibilities.
And now, as we get into things, last Sunday, Cork had a massive 325-117 win over Waterford. They take on Galway this evening at 7 o'clock. But now we look back at Ben O'Connor's reaction to his team's win last Sunday.
Ben, just how happy are you with that performance?
Yeah, just happy to have it out the way, if I'm being honest. A lot of talk about it during the week, and just because it was our first day out, like, so just delighted that we got a performance out of the boys. Condition of the field made a difference, and fine day was nice to see, like, so it just made it a bit easier. I suppose, look, Waterford were under strength, short of belly gunner lads, but look, we can only beat what's in front of us, and delighted for some of the lads there now.
The fast start would really have set the nerves with the war in, I suppose.
Yeah, there was no nerves either, no nerves. And I suppose we got 8 or 9 fast points, and I suppose it's set the tone for the rest of the in that period. I don't think we'd any wide either, so shooting was good. Boys running into position to play the ball around well, so good start for first out.
And some excellent performances all around the field, William Buckley in particular, a fantastic game.
Yeah, very good performances. I suppose we're lucky enough that we had 9 or 10 of the more experienced fellas, and we had to fire in the few younger fellas with him as well to help him out. And not that they needed any help out there today, but it's nice to do that, and nice to be able to put on 5 subs in the second half, so we can give them all a bit of game time.
Dickie Dalton in full forward, how long was that in the works?
Dickie's played full forward for Father O'Neill, he's played full forward for Cork before, so it isn't any great toss on our behalf. Dickie can play anywhere. Dickie could be in goals. He's that good hurler. He's good touch, good movement, good head. So it's just today we just saw him inside there, and that's where he went, and he played well in fairness until he got injured.
What about the attendance today here at Parkyqueen for first game of the league? It was incredible.
Yeah, look, you could see even there with the footballers when they got it close in the game before us, just crowd got them over the line. It was a big help, and I suppose look, it'll be the opposite for us next weekend above in Galway. We won't have as many people that will travel to Galway, but having the home crowd is a big plus in the league games.
Injury-wise, how did you
manage it? Not too bad, a few dead legs. So no muscle tears or no breaks or anything like that. I said every fella we took off came off with a dead leg. So look, that'll be down to the physios during the week, but I'd imagine that they'll be all declared fit for next weekend again.
Ben, the first 10 minutes especially, like, I mean, there was a point minute coming there. It almost looked like the team had been waiting 7 months to get back on the pitch in a competitive match.
It didn't feel as a training so hard. This is the enjoyable part of it. Like, I say, was there pressure? Like, there should be no pressure. Like, didn't feel as so much work done there since we started back the 17th of November. They have so much work done. Like, so the pressure is outside of training, trying to keep up with the fellas in front of you. That's where the pressure is. When they come in here, you have to enjoy it, and that's what we're looking for fellas to do for the whole year. We want them to enjoy it. Where else would they want to be, like, on inside that dressing room? Like, so we're just looking that there's no pressure on anyone, and there's go. And we're going to enjoy every game as it comes.
And then, like, obviously, not a lot of the established fellas played in the Munster Hurling League, I suppose. Obviously, you didn't need to learn a whole lot more about them, but was it a case of kind of keeping them hungry for the real stuff as well? Like the way that they started, the way the whole team started, like you played with such an intensity and a sharpness. Like, was it a case of kind of, you know, blowing out any cobwebs that they had? Like,
I know saying that. That was Ian Jones.
Okay.
2 Munster League games, there were wins on a Monday night, so they're not training nights.
Okay.
So that means if they played on any of them nights, they couldn't have trained.
Right.
So that's the way the matches were considered. Okay. So 2 nights training was better than 1 match in the Munster League for them fellas.
Right, okay.
Plus, we wanted to give fellas that had been training all along, we wanted to give them a game and wearing the red jersey in a competitive game. So we got exactly what we wanted out of in the 2 games as well.
Yeah.
But that's the reason behind that the other fellas weren't used.
Okay.
Alan Connolly was on most of the frees, the initial ones anyway. Is that kind of said that he's going to be the free taker going forward?
Yeah, he was just taking him today. Alan was taking him today. Sure, if you look at all them fellas, they're all hitting them for their clubs. Like. So it's only to get deciding who we're going to go with. Alan took him today. We'll see. Will he take him the next day? We'll see who'll take him the next day. But I don't think there's an issue when you've so many free takers, like from centre field up, like they're all hitting them for their clubs. So I suppose it's just inside a different arena that they're hitting them, like instead of being at home hitting them with 200 or 300 people looking at you, you've 20,000 looking at you. So it's just to get fellas used to that as well.
At a personal level, you said earlier in the week, you know, your kids will be here and stuff. Important for you to get a nice start here, a big crowd, Parky Cueven away.
Yeah, sure. Look, as I said all week, there was a lot of stuff going on like that wasn't in our control, like they were saying about how are they going to play, who are they going to pick, or what's going to happen here. Like, but look, we've done very little with the lads, as in, like, they're good hurlers, they know what they're at, and let them in, let them at it. That's the way. We've a few bits and pieces that we're trying to instill in the group, but look, at the end of the day, a game of hurling is a game of hurling. If you have the ball in your hand, you're in charge. So look, delighted to have it out of the way. Met the small ones there after, they're delighted. So there'll be no grief when I go home, I can put it that way.
When Pat was in charge, he kind of, you know, he wanted the team to kind of go for goal chances as much as they could. So I suppose to score 3 in the first game is a good kind of it's a good sign. I suppose the way that they were scored, like Declan could have gone for his own chance but set up Alan for an easy one, then Adam Walsh had a turnover, felt Alan Connolly, and he had William on the shoulder, like, so it's a good sign of them, like the interplay and how fellas were on the same wavelength.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for all time. We're looking for team play.
Yeah.
Like there's no point having a shot that you have 50% chance of scoring. If there's a fella inside, you have 70% chance, so why not give it to him?
Yeah.
Better chance of scoring. So that's what we're looking for. We work hard in training at that. And look, it's nice when it pays off outside the match here, because you can show the clips during the week and say, look, you've done that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's money in the bank for you. You give all there, there's money in the bank for you. So that's what lies when things like that come off.
Now, I'm delighted to welcome Matthew Hurley of the Southern Star and Gaelic Statesman onto the show. Matthew, how are you getting on?
Yeah, good, Melanie. Some brilliant games to look forward to this weekend in Beaucourt.
Definitely. And like last weekend, like it was a dream start for both sides, really, wasn't it?
It was, to be fair. For the footballers, it was a crucial win in many ways to get off the back against Cavan. It was a game that they probably needed to win. They haven't had good starts over the last 2 years, so to get that good start this time, I think it's the third time in the last 10 years that they won their opening game in the league, and one of those 3 times was a Division 3 against Offaly. So they needed to get off to a good start, and they did, thanks to a brilliant Stephen Sherlock, 2-pointer, and it was just a good day to get kicked off with the footballers there. And the hurlers, I suppose, it was kind of a weird game in the sense that Cork were excellent, don't get me wrong, but Waterford were very, very underwhelming. I suppose they played out a second team there as well. The Ballygunner lads not there. It was disappointing from their end. But I think it would actually suit Cork more this weekend to come up against Galway to have more of a test. I think Ben O'Connor would want that in his team. Galway played very well against Tip, to be fair, to them last week. So expecting a big battle this evening in Salt Hill. But yeah, good win for both teams last weekend.
Definitely. And we'll stick with the hurling for a little while, just looking back on that game, like a 14-point win. Like you said, you can only play what's in front of you. But what impressed you most about Cork's performance?
Well, their shooting efficiency was very, very good, especially in the first half. I think it was around 80% at one point. I think they converted 10 out of their first 10 shots, and then I think they only missed one or two in the first few minutes as well. Overall, it was a 68% shooting accuracy from Cork, and that was very, very pleasing, to be fair. And I think Cork have done this before under Pat Ryan, but I think not to the consistency levels as other teams maybe in contesting for All-Ireland. So hopefully it'll be around the same mark this evening. Very interested in the puckouts from Patrick Collins. He did vary it up a bit. Mostly they were long and they seemed to win them mostly. It was 76% overall. The turnovers was a bit concerning. Cork only won 52% of the turnovers compared to Waterford's 48%. But I suppose, look, that's one thing that needs ironing out. I suppose Ben would be happy in terms of that there is stuff to work on. I think William Buckley played very well last week. He's obviously not playing tonight, but got 1-4 from play, which was very impressive. Declan Dalton, the full forward, looked very sharp. But Alan Connolly was decent for play as well. Took his goal very well in the first half. Dermot Healy played very well as well. And he's changing up the team a bit, Ben O'Connor, tonight. Obviously, Owen Downey's in at wing back. You obviously have Owen Roach in his full back position. You have Seamus Harvey in. You have Brian O'Sullivan. You have Dara Fitzgibbon moving to wing forward, which should be very interesting to see. So, a lot of changes there. Maybe a bit of a negative, I suppose, as well, the free taking. Cork only scored 1-2 from frees the last day. And without Hoggy, obviously, that is the big source of discussion. Like, Cork had 6 place balls opportunities the last day. They only converted 3. That's 50%. That won't be good enough in terms of the later on down the season and winning All-Irelands or whatever. So that probably needs to be brushed up on. And they need maybe a solid free taker, a consistent free taker to fill the boots for Hoggy. It was kind of surprising, actually. I know Alan Connolly has taken frees for Blackrock at the club championship. But a bit surprising that Dara Fitzgibbon didn't take many frees the last day. I know, like, he took one and he actually converted it. He was the only player to actually take a free and convert every single one of them. I know Jackie Dawson converted a penalty, but Alan Connolly had 3 opportunities. He only converted 1, and Mark Coleman converted none of his place ball the opportunity. So I think there's scope for improvement there, and I'm hoping Dara Fitzgibbon, to be honest with you, will be the main free taker tonight. But look, they have to learn from that.
Definitely. I think Dara Fitzgibbon would have been my top choice for a free taker. I think, don't think he takes him for Charleville anymore, but he used to. And Declan Dalton as well might be another hat to throw in the ring there. Looking at the full back line, you mentioned Darragh O'Leary last week. Like, I thought he was immense.
He was really, really good. And he was really good until, obviously, he had to depart the panel a few years ago, obviously studying in Garda College up in Temple Moor. I think he was in Kildare for some stage last year as well, which is why the commute was too far for him. Mm-hmm. I always thought he was an absolutely excellent fullback. He's very, very tenacious. Obviously, on that run with Watergrass Hill when they won the All-Ireland, I thought he was absolutely superb then. I think he mans the fullback line very, very well as well. And it'll be very interesting to see tonight. I know Downey actually played fullback last year and was very good at some stages, but it'll be interesting to see him at wing back tonight now, whether he'll actually be suited to that position or not. Obviously, Roberts, his brother, is a centre back as well. Obviously, that full back line the last day, Noel O'Leary, Darragh O'Leary, and Sean O'Donoghue, will that be the full back line moving into the championship? I suppose Ben has time to play around with it, because the league wouldn't be as important, I would say, as the championship, or isn't as important, particularly in the football league, where all Ireland placings are at stake. In the hurling league, you could try out a few players, you could try out a few systems. Ben does have time before the Munster championship opener in April. So look, I would think Darragh O'Leary is a very, very good fullback. If he provides it more consistently, I think he's definitely a shoo-in for a starting spot, but we'll have to see. But I agree with you, Melanie. He played very, very well last weekend.
Definitely. And you mentioned it there, like, Cork do have chances with trying out, like, different players. But it does, like, pose the question, like, the Allianz League, like, what have you, finished up the third week in March, then the first week in April of your finals, then you have a 2-week turnaround to first game against Tip. Like, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't approach. But I do think championship probably is main focus this year. Like, obviously.
It has to be the main focus, to be honest with you. I just feel like, look, Cork won the league last year. They don't need to prove anything in the league, if that makes sense. Possibly not the Munster Championship, because they won that as well. The one crown that they did not win was the Liam McCarthy Cup. And I think that would be the aim for Ben O'Connor. I know Ben was saying in interviews, and it is very pleasing that he is saying these things, that he wants to win every game, whether it's like a friendly or anything like that. He wants to win. But maybe you look at other teams, they are taking the league quite seriously. Tip are taking it seriously. Limerick are taking it seriously. Kilkenny maybe not so, because they're in a bit of transition. So it's kind of strange in the fact that many of the big dogs are taking the league a bit seriously. I know Limerick have put out a very strong team for tomorrow's game. I know Tip played a very strong team last week against Galway too. So look, I'd agree with you, Ben. It is damned if you do, damned if you don't approach in many ways, because like if you win the league, you'd be applauded. But then if, later on down the line, if you fall short of the Liam McCarthy, which Cork did last year, you will be criticised. But then if you don't get to a league final, you'll be criticised in maybe the near future. But maybe like it's a very difficult one to call whether to go for the league or not. But I think honestly, behind the scenes, maybe I think if the Cork players were asked, which would you rather peak for? Would you rather peak for now, March, April, or rather peak for June, July? I think the players would snap your hand off for June, July. Look, the All-Ireland is the main thing from a Cork point of view, and it probably always has been, to be fair, and so I think even more so this year.
Definitely. And looking at the footballers, we mentioned them earlier, like great win. They're against Loud tomorrow, a change of venue there, this one in Drogheda instead. Like Stephen Sherlock, like impact sub, do you keep him on the bench? Do you start him? That's kind of the main question I've been seeing floating around the media this week.
It's a very interesting debate. John Cleary did name his team last night, saying that obviously it said that Sherlock will not start this game. Brian Hurley would start in this one. There's only one change from the Cavan game. Sean Brady, who has a suspected broken hand, from what I'm hearing, he's out. Mar Shanley's in at cornerback, which is a very interesting move. Look, it's a very interesting debate, because I've discussed it with Kieran McCarthy and Sutherland Star as well, about whether you start Sherlock or whether you start Hurley, and there's very big arguments for both. Look, I think Hurley scored 3 points from play last weekend. I think he did very well as well. Sherlock does add that 2-point threat, and I think he's a fantastic player. And I listened to James O'Donoghue on the football pod and off the ball during the week as well, and he was saying that he is the best right foot. He's one of the best right footers in the country. Now, that's talk of the ilk of the likes of David Clifford and Conor Callan and these sorts of players. So Sherlock is rated very highly. But I can see the point where you have Sherlock as a substitute, because under these new rules, you have to run up and down, up and down. It's very, very tiresome at times. If you have a guy coming onto the pitch with 20, 19, 18 minutes to go, maybe even 15 minutes to go, and the opposition defence is tired, if they see Stephen Sherlock come onto the pitch, they'll panic. And they'd be like, oh God, this guy's going to kick 2-pointers. And like you have a load of plugs to fill then. So it's going to be very difficult for the opposition then. So I could see it from John Cleary's point of view to an extent in bringing Sherlock on. It gives the opposition a lot more to think about as well. So it's a very interesting debate. You would probably stick with Brian Hurley for now. But I think later on down the line, you'd want to see Stephen Sherlock start a few league games. But obviously, we'll see if the decision was the right decision or the wrong decision in Drogheda tomorrow.
Definitely. And just someone else I want to mention, Dara Sheedy. I think he's, 19, 20, came on as a sub, I think, to start the second half. And I just thought he read the game brilliantly. Like, for such a young player, he was just amazing.
Not only is he such a hard-working young lad, I suppose he's a very technically gifted player as well. He was very good in the under-20s, was a feature of that minor team in 2023 as well. He's a fantastic footballer, very technically gifted on the ball. He works hard for the team as well. I've seen at one point he was actually collecting a short kick out from Patrick Doyle. Obviously, as a forward, you don't necessarily want your forward in that position, but look, it just shows how hard working he is. He's an absolutely brilliant young lad, and I suppose he set up Stephen Sherlock's 2-pointer for play as well. He's a very, very good player linking up the play as well, and a very good speedster to come onto the pitch, and that adds to maybe more threats in terms of the opposition to think about as well. You have Sherlock, who can get 2-pointers, and you have Sheedy, who's a guy that will link up the play, who has technical ability and will run for the team throughout the final few minutes of the game. So I think, actually, I know Cork's starting 15 may not be as strong as many people would perceive it to be, but I look at Cork's bench tomorrow, it's very, very it's very heavy in terms of quality. You have Jacob O'Driscoll, who did very well for UCC during the week. You have Matty Taylor and Ian Maguire, who are very experienced campaigners. You have David Buckley, who did very well for Newstown in the club championship. You have Sherlock, obviously. You have Sheedy, obviously. You have Conor Callan, who's a very good midfielder, wing forward that you can bring on as well. And of course, Colin O'Mahony, who's come back into the panel, so, and a very technically gifted forward. So I think the subs bench could actually be a big ploy for Cork tomorrow in Drogheda, and if things are going wrong, they could bring these guys on and they might change the game. So I think possibly we've probably one of the better benches in Division 2, which is a very positive move in many ways, and yeah, Sheedy's definitely a part of that.
Definitely. And obviously there's been the talk of, as you said, like where you are in the league now in football, if Cork drop down, obviously, hopefully not, it will affect their Munster Championship seedings. Like, is promotion possible this year for them?
I believe so, Melanie. I think they'll be definitely up there. I think they'll be edging towards the top four, top five. I think Loud have a lot to say as well, obviously. Tomorrow's game is going to be massive because the winners of that game, depending obviously on the meeting cabin result later on Sunday, will be top at Division 2 after two rounds, which I don't think anybody would have predicted, considering Tyrone with the quality they have. But obviously that draw that they had to Kildare last weekend has opened up the whole thing in Division 2. I think it was so important to get that win over Cavan last week just because of those results, and the fact that Derry lost against Meath and Croke Park as well was massive. So, and Derry and Tyrone are actually playing each other this evening too. So I think for Cork to win tomorrow, 4 points on the board, like, To play, I suppose, the positive light in many ways. If Cork win tomorrow and if Derry lose against Tyrone this evening, Cork are already 4 points above Derry. And I don't think many people would have predicted that at the start of the league campaign, especially with Derry coming down from Division 1. So tomorrow's game is very, very important. But I think Division 2 is probably as open as it has ever been. I know there's the argument the two come down, two go straight back up afterwards. But with Derry and Tyrone dropping points last weekend, I think it's going to be very, very open from here until the end of the league campaign.
And now we'll have a listen to John Cleary, Cork football manager, speaking to our very own Rory Hagan after that 1 point victory against Cavan last Sunday.
John, just how happy are you with the way your side saw that out?
I should look very happy with the 2 points. You know, I suppose with 10 minutes to go, 7 points down, it didn't look like it was going to be our day. We played in fits and starts. We thought we were, you know, getting good scores, but I was just afraid we were going to start maybe trying to panic a small bit. A couple of wayward shots there, but then, in fairness to that, settled down. And, you know, a couple of two-pointers were crucial. And I thought we finished very well. We just, you know, when the game was there for the taking, we drove at it and, you know, got over the line. Other days we've been in the position where, you know, I think back to Down last year, we were in more or less the same position, and we came out of it with a loss. So look, today, you know, we'll take the victory, definitely. You know, I thought Kevin for a lot of it were played outstandingly well. We couldn't cope with them, but look, we finished well and got over the line, so we're thrilled with that.
Did you have any doubt when Stephen Sherlock was stepping up right at the end there that he wasn't going to put it over the bar?
In fairness, if there's any player that we wanted on the ball, it was Stephen, you know what I mean, and particularly with the season he has and the form he's in, and he was the man, yeah, that we definitely wanted on that kick. And fair dues to him, it was a pressure kick, the game was on the line, and you know, he started over very well.
Obviously, as the crowd built up, they really got into the game towards the end, and that seemed to really spur you on as well.
Absolutely, yeah, you could hear the, you know, from the, you know, from the stands there, really, you know, they got behind the team, and you know, to small margins, it was a very, very small margin. Another day we'd have been coming out here licking our wounds, but as I said, we've done that in the past, and we'll take it. And any day you don't play to your potential and get a victory, there's a lot to work on, and we'll go back to the drawing board and head on to Louth next week.
And just a word on Cavan, John, I thought they were excellent throughout the game, but maybe just ran out of legs in the last 10 minutes or so.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it was nothing that we didn't expect. They came down here 2 years ago and they beat us by a point. We were up there last year, we got up there by the skin of our teeth, so obviously the teams are very, very even, and today we had the bit of luck to get us over the line, and we'll take it. But look, fair dues to Cavan, they played excellently all through.
John, you kept your composure. That was the biggest thing, was that you could easily have panicked.
Absolutely. I suppose this team is fairly mature. You know, that we've been on the road, a lot of those lads, 3, 4, 5 years together, and we've been in the position, and maybe not as you said, panicked or didn't get over the line. And look, fairness, Darragh Sheedy on his debut there, you know what I mean, first day out, and there was a lot of pressure on there, every ball that he was catching, you know, and was getting on the end of it. I thought he drove us on there, particularly when they got a bit tired. And then the other more experienced fellas, Ian Maguire, Stephen Sherlock there, they came on and just got us over the line.
The overall performance, how would you rate it?
Look, I suppose we wouldn't have been happy at all conceding 217, you know. And fairness, they're a very strong running team. They're very strong runners, and you know, they've hit us with two sucker punches of goals when we looked maybe in control of the game at times. You know, I thought the second half, for most of it, we had most of the ball. We were maybe a couple of times poor shot selection, poor passing, and they were going down and picking off scores, you know. And then we had the breach, and you know, it looked like it wasn't going to be our day. But I think, look, that's the one most very pleasing thing about it. When it looked like it wasn't going to be there, fellas just stood up and were counted and drove on, and we got over the line at the end of the day.
You struggled to keep tabs on Darragh McPhee. You got 1-4, but a bit of a disappointment.
Yeah, it is, you know, and we'll have a look at it and you know, to see where that came from or whatever. At times they seem to take over big time around the middle of the field. Particularly Gerard McKiernan there came out, and we just couldn't cope with it. But I think we've got more bodies in there in the end, and we, you know, we just, the lads just broke ball left, right and centre. And whereas in the first half and up to then we weren't picking up the breaks, I think in the last 5 minutes there we picked up three or four vital breaks, which was the reason we got over the line.
And you talked about the pair show great character and all that, and I suppose we 7 points down and with about near up to 20 minutes to go, I suppose. In the context of the league, how important is this win in many ways? Because you've mentioned so many times before, you need a fast start, and to get a fast start to win at home is crucial.
It is, yeah. I think someone said we were 7 points down with 10 minutes to go or less than it, you know what I mean? So, of course, any game you have at home, you have to try and win it. You know what I mean? This, we had targeted this, you know, once the draw was made. And but having said that, you know, Tyrone were targeting, I'm sure, beating Kildare at home last night, and it didn't happen. And you know, so all the teams in this division are very, very competitive. You know, if the last 2-pointer last year against Cavan that they had went over the bar, they'd have a draw and they'd have been Division 1 this season. So that's how, you know, where they're at. And you know, so every game is going to be very, very competitive, but this was a game we targeted that we should be winning at home, because we have a few tough away days coming up down along the line. So definitely we're thrilled and delighted to get out here with the 2 points.
And even look ahead to next week, like, it is a tough trip up to Lowndes. You don't have the best record up in RD, so again it's crucial to get the win today and a bit of confidence going into next week too.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, I was even saying there last week, the last 2 times we won the McGrath Cup, we came around and lost the first round, and it looked like it was going to be three in a row here today for a long time, you know. But no, as I said, thrilled to get the 2 points. We can work on the performance part of it, and hopefully, you know, the next day if we can improve, you know, and you know, try and get up there, try and get up to Low. Very, very tough place to go to RD, but you know, it's a small bit easier now with 2 points in the bag.
Hello and welcome back. Melanie Brown here with you until 7. Not long to go now as Cork's Round 2 of the Allianz Hurling League against Galway takes place. A few changes on the team that played against Waterford. Brian O'Sullivan making his first Allianz Hurling League start in about 3 years, and Seamus Harnedy coming in to the side at wing forward. And tomorrow Cork will begin their 2026 All-Ireland Camogie Minor A Championship campaign away to Tipperary. Note the change of venue to Mary Eye Campus Turles at 2 o'clock. Manager Mossy O'Sullivan oversaw Cork's successful defence of their Munster Camogie Minor title last weekend following victory over Limerick. Our very own Ger McCarthy spoke to the Cork Camogie Minor manager about the Rebels' successful provincial campaign and to preview their upcoming All-Ireland Minor Championship.
Now back with us here on the Big Red Bench, I'm delighted to welcome the Cork Camogie Minor manager Mossy O'Sullivan after Cork successfully defended their Munster Minor Camogie title this past weekend. Mossy, welcome back to the bench and congratulations.
Thanks very much, sir. Thanks very much.
Yes, Munster champions at minor Ave is not an easy thing to do, and to do it 2 years in a row is fantastic. You defended your title by defeating Limerick 2-9 to 14 points in Temple Glantin. I told it's pronounced tin, not teen, in County Limerick. Not an easy game by any stretch of the imagination from the reports that I've read, Mossy, but look, you must be delighted, obviously, just to get that trophy again, but a real test for your team.
Yeah, look, I suppose, look, very resilient team. We were probably, we got a bit of luck as well on the day, I think. Things went our way. It was tit for tat for most of the game. There was no score then, I suppose, from the 45th minute to the 60th minute, till we scored another goal. And then in extra time, the last 6 minutes, they scored 3 points and probably had a chance to actually draw the game. So it was one of those days. Look, we came out the right side of it on Sunday, so we were delighted.
Yeah, you got 2 goals in the second half. So you got Leah Hannigan and Lexi Manley falling in the back of the net for you. How much do conditions play a part in this?
Actually, there were absolutely fantastic conditions for Camogie that day. There wasn't a puff of wind, no rain, which was amazing. For all the rain we had in January, last Sunday was the first day that we seen no rain. So, look, conditions were favourable for both teams, to be fair.
Talk to me about the overall performance, because I'm going to ask you just a second. In terms of the performance on the day that you needed to grit this out, that's the impression that I'm getting from reading the reports anyway, that this wasn't fancy Camogie. This was grit. This was tough. This was when you were pushed to the pin of your collar. But the quality of Camogie now in the minor grade, like Limerick are very, very handy. We saw the results under 16. Cork didn't necessarily win their Munster finals, but a lot of the other counties take their underage as seriously as Cork. How much of a test have you gotten over the last couple of weeks?
Look, to be fair, we're going to be, look, probably the last few weeks we've been tested, but I think the next few weeks coming into the All-Ireland series, we're going to be really, really tested. All the teams are really catching up with each other, which is where everyone's pushing each other. A lot of people now doing strength and conditioning programs. There's a lot of work being done underage to help the senior grade. So, look, everyone's pushing, and it is very difficult, especially this time of year.
I know you don't like singling out players, no manager does, but Lexi Manley, the Bullock player, finished at 1-6. How important was she on the day, and how well is she and others developing in this minor setup?
Lexi is a fantastic player. We gave her the job to take the freeze on the day as well. Look, Lexi is a super, super talented player, and you know, she's the stalwart of the team. Great character as well.
Before we talk about what's to come, Rory Noonan in the Echo was writing about the timing of this year's Munster Camogie Championship. Sorry, both the under 16 and the minor starting so early in January. Like, so, what's your opinion on that? I mean, we spoke, you know, availability of pitches, yeah, whether you've spoken about, but yeah, the fact that they're happening so early.
It's winter hurling, really, in effect, for a competition that usually was played in the summer. So it is. It's a different kind of game. You have to dig out wins in a game like that. One or two slips could make the difference in a day. One or two small things could go against you. It's a real tougher game because the ball doesn't travel. There's a lot of rucks. It can suit a kind of a strong team more than a more skillful team, and it probably evens up games as well, even up teams as well. You know.
Does that affect the kind of player you're looking for at minor with you and your selectors and how you prepare?
Look, it changed probably 3 years ago. And yes, you would be looking at more of you'd definitely be looking at a different player for that time of year.
I suppose one thing, Mossy, that it does do at this time of year, it offers you and the players the perfect run-in to the All-Ireland Series, which is about to throw in this weekend. You're away to Tipperary. There is that benefit that you've had a block of training, meaningful games. And is that the real bonus with it, that now you're a little bit more ready than you would have been if you didn't have those games?
Yes, yeah, definitely that. That's probably the bonus to it. Yes, definitely. The bonus to it would be that you have real, real competitive games. Like, that was a real, real top championship game last week. Like, you know, anyone that watched it on Clubber would say it was a real, real tough affair. You know, there was real hard tackles. And look, in fairness to the girls, they stood up to it as well. You know, so we were very pleased with that.
Good that you were pleased, because things are about to get even harder, as you alluded to there. This weekend, you start your All-Ireland Minor A Championship Series away to Tipperary. That's followed in February with two games. You meet Limerick again on Leaside, this time at Castle Road, probably in February in the second round. Then you have to travel to Galway in March, you're away in Dublin, and then a nice little home game against Kilkenny. I know we're going to talk about that before the All-Ireland Camogie Minor A Championship semi-finals and finals in April. It's pretty much full on, even though there's like one game this weekend and two games month, but you need the break and you need the preparation time. What's the plan now to get ready for this series? Obviously the focus, and the only focus, is on Tipperary right now this weekend. I understand that, but the fact that you've got that mapped out of what's to come over the next three months, can you prepare properly? Can you plan ahead? Like, is that the real benefit and bonus with it?
Well, yeah, that's the real benefit. And look, to be honest with you, we've 30 exceptional players as well, so we will be using our bench to get over all these games. And I suppose, look, for us, it's to develop those players as well. So, like, you know, to give them all game time, give them all a chance to perform, which is highly important for everyone, you know.
The game that sticks out there, obviously going to be a rematch with Limerick, which will be, there's no easy game there, and let's be polite, honest. But that Kilkenny game, I would imagine, after losing last year's All-Ireland, without trying to build it up, when it, there could be a lot riding on it come March, Mossy.
I think that could be the game that they might need to win, or we might need to win, because I think this is probably the most competitive year since I've been doing it. That we've all kind of come up to the same bar. I think there could be wins and losses along the way for both us and all the other teams. And I think it really will come down to the wire, I think. And I think that Kilkenny game could be the one down to the wire.
Yep, build it up for us, because we'll definitely be there. That's what we want to hear, Mossy. Before I let you go, this weekend, obviously, it's a tough one on the road against Tipperary. Very, very talented Camogie players at under 16 and minor level in that county, as we've seen last year, and especially this year now again. We've already said it, it's not a cliche. There is just no, at this grade, at this level, you've got to be on your game. So what's the plan? How are you approaching this game against Tip this coming weekend?
Look, we've watched Tipperary. They've been going to be very defensive, right? That's their MO, right? Look, we're finding it all the time that a lot of teams are defensive against Cork. So we've a plan just to break them down. Look, we'll be hoping to get a result on Sunday and put the best foot forward. That's the plan.
Very well put, and not giving anything away. Brilliant management as always, Mossy. Listen, congratulations to you and all the players on retaining your Munster Minor A Camogie Championship title. Not an easy thing to do, and especially this time of the year, well deserved. And the very best of luck this weekend in the opening round of the All-Ireland Camogie Minor A Championships as Cork travel to Tipperary on Sunday. We'll talk to you again and catch up with you soon enough here on the Big Red Bench to see how things are going. But for now, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, sir. Mind yourself. Bye.
And finally for today's show, we'll talk a bit of MMA, and Ireland's fastest growing promotion returns with a big card in Cork next week. EFC 7 Night of Champions takes place at Black Rock Hurling Club with a number of title fights on the card. Rory spoke to EFC's main man Barry O'Callaghan about the card this morning.
Cards you put on it have been massively entertaining. Very, like, it's just from top to bottom, like, there's been no bad fights in the cards that I've on the cards that I've seen. Talk to us about the card for next week, Barry.
UFC 7 Night of Champions, and we are back in Black Rock GA Club. Okay, it's a huge stadium, and we're looking to fill it. We're looking to pack it, but there are still tickets available. Fighters have tickets. There's tickets online. I know you're going to be sharing them. Night of Champions, we've got three title fights to lead the card up. The main event is a Cork fighter. He's from MMA Cork. It's Shane Carmody. Yeah. Anybody who knows Shane Carmody knows that Shane is never, ever in a boring fight. No. Just go and look at our social media and you get to see he won the submission of the year last year. He's an unbelievable jiu-jitsu practitioner. But the boy is after adding kickboxing to his game. He's all around it. He's a good wrestler, good kickboxer, and an unbelievable jiu-jitsu practitioner. So he's after really rounding out his MMA game. And he's fighting, I've always said, is my favourite amateur fighter, which I shouldn't say because I'm a Cork boy myself, but I just love the way his opponent fights. I'm a jiu-jitsu nerd, man. Anybody who knows me knows I do jiu-jitsu 6 times a week. I love it. I live for the sport. But Rian Dunleavy from Shaolin and Galway, he's after fighting on the show on a couple of occasions. Also, my favourite fight that's ever been on the show was himself versus Jake Knight. It was just a grappling fest. Round after round, I actually went in and cracked a joke to the referee. I said, "Can we actually just stop the card now and have these lads just go back in and do a round four and a round five?" So me and Dunleavy versus Shane Carmody touched the card. That's going to be an epic, epic fight. Then we have a super welterweight bout, another title fight between Caleb Leach from Paddy Houlihan's gym versus Daniel Arra from CMAC. Yeah. So two Dublin lads coming down to Cork to fight for the super welterweight title. Kellum Leach has represented Ireland at the IMAFs. Really, really, really high level fighter. He actually lost a close bout to our super heavyweight champion. That's super heavyweight, my apologies, or light heavyweight champion. Yeah. Late night last night, man, so I'm sorry about that. So he lost the light heavyweight bout, so he's after going down a division and he's looking to pick up his first amateur title. Daniel Arra, as I said, fights out of CMAC. Again, you look at the two gyms that these lads are coming from, they're no joke whatsoever. Like, you had the CMAC lads with Jordan Bradshaw winning in the first round by submission last night on Aries in Paris. I'm sure everybody knows Paddy Houlihan's gym. Like, these two lads have supported the show from day one. They truly understand what Irish MMA needs, and they've truly supported EFC and Cork since the very first show. So I'm delighted to have their two gyms represented and fighting for the super welterweight title on Saturday night. And then we have our third and final title fight. This is one that I'm really looking forward to as well. Okay, it's Danielle Davala from Samson in Cork.
She's great. Yeah.
She fought. Yeah, she fought on the last card, and again, there's a team here. She is so slick with her jiu-jitsu. She throws on submissions from absolutely everywhere. Yeah. I really enjoy watching Danielle fight, and I enjoy being able to put the women on the card as well, to be honest with you, because they are harder to match, and they are certainly worth buying a ticket for. So the other half of that title fight is Amy Scully. Amy Scully fights out of SBG in Dublin. She has a huge, huge online following. She is an amazing fighter. She is, I would say, she is very close to going pro. She's just an exceptional, exceptional fighter. She lives the life of a fighter. If anybody follows her on social media, they'll say she's up every morning doing ice baths, no matter what the weather. She trains 3 or 4 times a day. She's a super athlete. And again, she's bringing a big crowd down from Dublin with her. So look, it's going to be an epic night of title fights. After that, you can go through our social media page, man, and you can pick some of the fights we have there. One of the top ones on the card we have is Tom Buffley against Samson, who's 6-1.
Yeah.
Tom Buffley came on in the last 2 weeks, and he's taken a really, really tough fight against Rory Burke from SBG Clonmel. Rory Burke was slated to fight Tommy Skagrum.
Yeah, he's
from
cool.
Norway. He's a cool coach.
I like Tommy.
Tommy, I listen, you can only like Tommy. Tommy is a really cool character.
Oh, I tell you, Barry, after his last fight in EFC, he came over to me and gave me a big bar of Danish chocolate. And I was like, yeah, I'll keep you only eating chocolates. We'll keep him.
Well, I'm telling you now, he's after bringing me over chocolates on his last two trips. And when he told me he's after, he got an injury to his ribs a week ago in training.
I know, man.
And although I was gutted for him, I was kind of gutted for myself as well, man, because I really was looking forward to the chocolates that he was going bringing over, you know. I really was. So, yeah, we have Tom Buckley and Rory Burke. These two lads just said, yeah, we'll fight each other. They're two of the top featherweights in the country. So this fight, because we made it last minute, they're going to weigh in at 68 kg. So super featherweight, they're going to weigh in at. But this is a number one contender shot. So yeah, the winner of this bout will fight the winner of Shane Carmody versus Liam Dunleavy in May. So the two lads stepped in. Again, of course, we have Johnny Duggan on the card. Johnny Duggan lost the featherweight title, or the bantamweight title, sorry, in his last bout on a close. It was a close decision loss. So Johnny is looking to bounce back against some kid called Jurel, who were flying in from France. So Johnny is looking to get back to winning ways. We have not a load of amazing fights. We have Ucha Narodishvili, again from Paddy Houlihan's gym, who's Luca's brother. He's fighting David and Majibas from System A Academy. Again, this is a high level fight. These two lads are coming to throw bombs. Both of them really good at jiu-jitsu, really good at wrestling. Yeah. Just all round. Another couple of lads from MMA Cork, we have Barry Kennedy, fondly known as the Jawbreaker. So Barry Kennedy's on the card. He's fighting another French lad. And we have Jack Ryan making his amateur debut in another tough fight against Dylan Ralph. We've got some high-level kickboxing on the card. Jake Knight is looking at going pro soon. Jake is our current featherweight champion, but he's relinquishing the belt. He's going having one kickboxing bout, and then he's going to go pro.
Yeah.
And in the last couple of days, just because I love jiu-jitsu, but after throwing three or four high level jiu-jitsu bouts on the card, also, so we have Shay Carmody, who is a child prodigy, to say the least. We have him fighting, and we have him doing a jiu-jitsu match. We have Charlie Frigo, who was on the card the last time we had jiu-jitsu. So look, we have some really high-level bouts on the card, from top to bottom, man. The thing is absolutely stacked. It's stacked. Brian Manning is going to be there, as he just came into the camera 5 minutes ago and screamed down the camera. He'll be there next week.
Matthew Manning.
There are some tickets still available. As I said, the fighters have tickets available. As always, it'll be people selling tickets at the door. So we're looking for the Cork community to come and support us, because these shows, there's a lot goes into running them, Rory.
Yeah.
There's a lot goes into running them. And again, the more people that support us, the more we can come back and do these, the easier they get. We have four shows slated for one next Saturday. We're back in May, July and November. And November, which is going to be an absolutely monster card. I'm telling you that now, because it's going to be our 10th show. And to be after doing 10 shows in under 2 years, there's nobody doing it. We're the only promotion in Ireland that's running consistent shows, Rory. We're the only promotion that's doing it. We are the number one promotion in Ireland. And we're only after getting started.
And people said you wouldn't last, Barry. Like, look at you now.
Yeah. Well, that was a flash in the pan we were going to be rolling. But that's absolutely fine. Listen, when your back is to the wall, man, you come out fighting. We're now, as I said, it has been difficult for the first couple of shows, to be fair to Aaron McGuire and MMA Cork. For the first couple of shows, it was like an MMA Cork show.
Yeah.
Because it was a new promotion. It was hard to get fighters on the card. Because people thought that it was going to be a flash in the pan. But we now have 15 or 16 boats, and there are 4 MMA Cork lads on the cards. So as I said, we have title fights with people out of coming down from Dublin. So the show is growing. The show is growing, and we're getting support from some of the largest gyms across Ireland. And that's what you need to run these shows. Fighters need to want to fight, yeah. And they need to want to make that travel to Cork, make the weight, come down and put on a show. And if they're prepared to do that, Rory, I'm prepared to put on as many shows as is needed, bro.
100%. Barry, looking forward to the show next week. EFC 7 taking place in Blackrock Hurling Club next Saturday night. Tickets online and from the fighters as well. Barry, a pleasure as always, buddy.
100%, bro. Thank you.
And that is all we have time for Saturday's Big Red Bench. I've been Melanie Brown with you, and I'll be back in your ears tomorrow. And we'll hopefully have good results from the Rebels on tour today.